Let me say it's certainly to be good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. It's good to see each and every one of your faces. Good to feel the presence of the Lord. I don't know if y'all know what that did for me tonight. Now I want you to know how much I appreciate it. You know, whenever God calls you to be the little old under-shepherd of a church, and God uses the people in the church, you feel like a proud daddy. And to see these young folks used of the Lord is one of the greatest blessings that I know of as a pastor. And God uses it all together. I heard a man say one time, and I vehemently disagree with this. He said, "Why, there ain't nothing really matters but the preaching." Of course, it was an arrogant preacher that said that. Boy, I'm glad it takes it all, don't it, y'all? Everybody doing their little old part to see God move and to see folks saved by the grace of God. Lord laid a message on our heart this morning. And, of course, when I told Ken on the way here, I said, "Honey, God's given me a message, but it just ain't my time to preach. And I don't know who's going to be here, but I believe God's going to send somebody." And we walked in there, Logan was, and we're tickled to death that he's going to be helping us in revival. I'll go on and tell you this, along with Logan, Brother Sam Rickett will be helping us in revival next year. Just soon as we saw Logan, as we came in the door, we saw Sam's face with him, if you'll have it that way. I told Kena again 2-3 days ago, "Honey, God ain't even showed me who's supposed to help in summer revival." And I'm so glad that God works that way. I'm such a dummy. Y'all that have been around me can amen that. Y'all know that's the truth. I have to act when God shows me, because if I don't, I'll get in trouble. But I'm glad that God can even lead somebody as slow as I am. If you've got your Bibles tonight, I want you to turn with me to the 9th chapter of the book of Isaiah, the 9th and the 10th chapter. And I'm not going to read all of the 9th chapter and the 10th chapter, but let me say this, that in that 9th chapter, and really leading up to this, God is already, through his little old prophet, telling Israel what's going to come. And he's warning them of the judgment that is coming. And in the midst of the denouncement, or the announcement of that judgment and the prophecies, he tells them, but there's going to be one that comes. A child's going to be born and a son's going to be given. They're going to call him Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of his government there'll be no end. In the midst of all that negativity and all of that prophecy of judgment, he also says there's going to come the Savior, the Son of God. And I'm glad, even in the midst of this hour and the difficulty of the age that we live in, there's still a Savior willing and desiring to save people. And in this 9th chapter, in the 10th verse, he talks about how they had built up Israel with stones and with sycamores and all these different things. And in the 12th verse, he says, but the Syrians are coming before and the Philistines are coming behind, and they're going to devour Israel with an open mouth. But I want you to notice, and he's going to say this 4 different times in this these next 2 chapters. He says this, "For his anger is not turned away." In other words, God is angry about your sin, but his hand is stretched out still. He goes on to say in the 16th verse, "The leaders of this people cause them to err." He gets to the point of the problem. And what has caused the nation of Israel to come under the judgment of God? Their leaders have caused the people to err. And they that are led of them are destroyed. Therefore the Lord will have no joy in the young men, neither shall he have mercy on the fatherless and the widows. For everyone is a hypocrite and an evildoer, and every mouth speaks folly, and his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. He goes on to say, the wickedness burns as a fire. It devours the briars and the thorns. It's kindled in the thickets of the forest, and they shall mount up like smoke lifting up. Through the wrath of the Lord of hosts is the land darkened, and the people shall be as fuel for his fire, and no man shall spare his brother. He shall snatch on the right hand and be hungry, and eat on the left hand and not be satisfied. They shall even eat of the flesh of their own arm. Manasseh, Ephraim, Manasseh, they together against Judah. And for all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. Woe unto them in chapter 10, verse 1, that decree unrighteous decrees and right grievousness with which they prescribe to turn aside the needy from judgment, to take away the right from the poor of my people. The widows may be their prey, and that they may rob the fatherless. And what will you do in the day of visitation, and when desolation is come, which is to come from afar? To whom will you flee, and where will you leave your glory? And without me they shall bow down under as prisoners. They shall fall under the slain. For all and all, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father God, as we come to you in the most precious name ever uttered by lips, that being the name of Jesus. God, I'm so thankful for your mercy and your grace. And God, I wouldn't pretend, Father, for one second to think that my righteousness is anything but imputed to me by my faith in Christ. Lord, I realize that as a nation, God, so many of us as a people have turned away from your ways. God, it seems like there's more meanness, just flat out meanness and anger and hatred and vitriol around us. It seems like even some are turning on their own family and devouring one another with the words of their mouth. In all this evil and all this difficulty, yet your hand is stretched out still. God, I'm so thankful that even in the midst of this froward and wayward generation, in the midst of all this evil and unrighteousness, your hand is still outstretched to a lost and dying world, saying, all who will come unto me. God, I'm so glad that, Father, even in the midst of this time, your hand is stretched out still. God, I pray, Lord, all under the sound of my voice may fall into your open arms. God, as you've got your arms and your hands stretched out as a father does for a child to come and run into your bosom and find peace and mercy and love and everlasting life. And God, I'm so glad there was a day as a 12-year-old boy, I come underneath that condemnation and I ran to where the altar was and I bowed down and began to pray, and I found out for myself, your hand is stretched out still. God, I'm so thankful you're able to save, and you're able to work where no man can hinder. God, now work among us, through us, and in us tonight. Forgive me for my sin. God, forgive me for my unrighteousness. Cleanse me, I pray. Let me be a little mouthpiece, and God, most of all, through your Spirit, draw folks to you. In Christ's name I beg, amen and amen. Isn't it amazing that even in the midst of this prophecy and proclamation of judgment, every time Isaiah opens his mouth and he talks about what's coming, and he talks about the judgment that's coming, and he talks about how there'll be fire and nobody will be spared, even in the midst of all of that, he says, but yet God's hand is stretched out still. And it amazes me. It amazes me, the love of God. Even in my own life, in the times that I've turned away from Him, in the times that really I've not lived up to my part of being a Christian, oftentimes I find myself really not doing and saying and being who I ought to be. I find myself, as the Bible uses the word at times, I find myself being a little hypocritical in my life. But yet even through all this, God's hand is stretched out still. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what you hadn't done. It don't matter where you're at or what you've gone through. The message of the gospel of Christ is that God's hand is stretched out still, that God is still desiring and wanting to save. And my goodness, at Silver City, we've heard it over the last several weeks. We heard it again this morning, that Jesus loves sinners. Paul said, of whom I am the chief, I'm glad that His hand is stretched out still. And it's not just stretched out to me. It's stretched out to you and to you and to you and everybody that falls into the loving arms of God through forgiveness and faith in Christ finds that God is a loving Father who's able to care for His children. I'm glad tonight there was a time I fell into His arms, and what I want to do with the rest of my life is fall into the arms of a loving God. Aren't you glad tonight? Listen, that judgment cried out and mercy answered. Aren't you glad tonight there's hope for a lost and a wayward generation? Listen, a lot of people saying America's gone too far. Too far for what? You mean to tell me that where sin doth abound, grace don't much more abound? I'm telling you, God can still save in this day. But here's what's happened. There is a group that calls himself the Christian church that no longer preaches that there is a judgment day that's coming. I want to assure you, according to the Word of God, there is a day in which God will visit and judge this world. And when Jesus comes, listen, there are a lot of people say Jesus is going to come back and set His kingdom up and He's going to reign here and do all this. And do I want to tell you, when He comes, He's coming with great power. I want you to know, when He comes, judgment's coming with Him. And if you ain't been saved, what are you going to do? Now listen, hey, if you believe He's going to set up a kingdom here, I love you. Hey, but that's not even, I tell you what, how about this? To me, that's not even an issue. Is that all right? It's not an issue. I'm going to tell you why. I'm not worried about what happens. When the Lord comes, it ain't going to matter if you ain't saved. Where the church is at, what the doctrine that we're worried about and the doctrine that we're concerned about is getting people to the place where they can be saved by the grace of God. And it's going to pan out in the end, however God wants it to. But I'm going to tell you this, judgment is coming, and that is for sure. And I'm glad today that God's hand is still stretched out for you and for I, that we can be saved and find peace in our day. Here's what would happen. He would prophesy and preach this, Isaiah would, and Israel would not listen. Every time that God uses Isaiah here and prophesies of the judgment that's to come, He also reminds him, my hand is stretched out still. At any time they could have found forgiveness, at any time they could have repented, at any time they could have changed their ways. But I'm going to tell you, they got to a place and rejected God to the point to where their last opportunity was gone. And as they left their land and went into Babylon, brothers and sisters, they hung their harps in the willow tree. God warns us. God gives us opportunity. His hand is stretched out still. Listen, I want you to know this. Throughout history, God has said to mankind, I'm going to give you a way out. You say, no, that came with the cross. I want to tell you, there are shadows and types all throughout the Old Testament. The ark was a type and a shadow of the cross of Christ. Listen, the very day that Noah and his family went into it, they were into the outside. If you'll have it this way, that open door, when it was
open and they walked in, it looked like two big old hands open up saying, come in to my... They got into the hand of God, and when tribulation come and the flood came, they were saved because they were in the hands of God. His hand is stretched out still. I want to tell you this. On the cross of Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ, a man in whom no guile was found, a man who was 100% God and 100% man. Listen, they did not take his life. They did not kill him. He gave his life. He said the Son of Man gives his life that he may take it up again. I want you to know on Calvary, he laid down his life. And as they nailed one hand to one side of the cross and one hand to the other side of the cross, what God was saying is that my arms and my hands are stretched out still. And now by faith in him, we can enter in to the arms of a loving God. We can enter into forgiveness and mercy. And I'm glad today I've entered in to the outstretched arms of the mercy and grace of God. His hands are stretched out still. These things that have taken place in our nation... I've never seen so much calamity in such a short period of time. I've never seen so much trouble. We're sitting in a gym on a Sunday night where a year ago we were sitting in a church. Hey, listen, the Bible said in there, he said that the evil would flow through like a fire and would begin to burn the briar. My goodness, we've seen our cities burnt down. We're in a gymnasium because of a disease that has come into our nation. God is trying to get our attention. You know what he's trying to tell us? My anger's not turned away. But my hands are stretched out still. Listen, there is a doctrine that says that God will not judge sin, that all of us are going to the same place, and no matter what you've done, I'm going to tell you, if you've not been washed in the blood of the Lamb of God, you ain't going where I'm going. The only way you can go is to be saved by the grace of God. And I'm going to tell you this, brothers and sisters, the Bible said the foundation of God standeth sure. God knows them that are He is. And in the midst of all this, his hands are stretched out still. I want you to know this, brothers and sisters. Our sin angers God. You don't hear that much anymore in the church, do you? It's all love, and it is. I'm going to tell you something. Our sin still angers God. God is perfect. God is righteous. God hates sin. But boy, he sure does love a sinner, don't he? And there are a lot of people that are saying you can go around and do and say and act and behave and do anything you want to do and be all right with God. I'm going to tell you, if you ain't serving God and you're not in the will of God, God's anger is kindled. But thank God at any time in your life, you can go back into the open arms of God. His arms are stretched out still. I'll close with this. Boy, I thought Logan was going there this morning. He got right up to it. There was a young man that said to his father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me. And he divided amongst his two sons his living. And the younger took the money and took the dividing of the spoils and all that he had, his inheritance. And he went and he wasted them on riotous living. Got down in a foreign country, and when he had spent all he had, there rose a famine in the land. And the Bible said no man gave him to eat, and he began to work in a little old pig, I guess a hog farmer's place, and he feigned to eat the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave him nothing. He found out that this world's hard. He found out that, listen, when you go against God and you walk away from God, there is a price to pay. But let me tell you what that young man also found out down in that pig pen with all that junk on him and smelling like a hog. The Bible said he came to himself. I'm going to tell you, has anybody had that come to yourself moment? Whenever you'd been saved as a young child, got out in the world and lived like a pig. And I'm going to tell you, young people, don't do that. There's a price to pay. You can scar up and mess up your life when you get saved. Live for Jesus. How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to eat and to spare, and yet I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father's house. And while he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. Don't tell me his daddy had his arms crossed. Don't tell me his daddy had his arms behind his back. I can see that father with his arms stretched out still saying, boy, come on home. Gonna kill the fatted calf. My son, which was dead, he's alive. He put a robe on his nakedness, covered up his filth, covered up his nakedness, put a ring on his finger, and restored him as his son. I want to ask you one question. I'll close, I promise. This is this is a problem you get into with your pastor when they don't preach on the morning, right? It kind of gets maybe a little bit long-winded. But I want to ask you this question that was asked in chapter 10, verse 3. What will you do in the day of visitation and in the desolation which shall come from afar? What would you do if it ended all right now? What would you do if the judgment of God fell upon this world? What would you do? I can only speak for Russell Bird. I can't speak for you. But I tell you what I'd do. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. I got a little bit of a glimpse of the lights of home. I'm a little tired and I'm a little homesick. I got some treasure waiting on me over there. Oh yeah, we've laid up some awful precious treasures in these last few months. Oh, I can wonder what it's going to be like when we come into that place and we crown him king together. And I know, I won't have the same physical body, and I know it'll be different than it is here. But the Bible said we'll be known as we're known. I believe that good part of you that's been saved by the grace of God, I believe I'll know that part. But what will you do? What will they do, those that have never been saved? God help tonight. Where are you going to go? He asked the question, where are you going to flee? There'll be nowhere to run and nowhere to hide from the judgment of God. Where will you leave your glory? You know what Peter said about a man's glory? He said, it's like the grass and the flower of the field. It's here today and gone tomorrow. It fades away. As a 12-year-old boy, God convicted my heart, and I left what little bit of glory I had down at the altar and crucified it. But oh, I got hold of some glory. I got rid of man's glory, which is just fading. It's a faded flower. It's grass. It dies. It's here today and gone tomorrow. But I'll tell you, there was some glory that came into my soul, and I ain't got over it yet. And I don't want to get over it. And it's good, and I'm glad for it tonight.
But what will you do when judgment comes? Where will the sinner be found? That's what keeps me up at night. That's what keeps me on my knees. Because I got some people that I love, that I love, that I love, that I hadn't been saved. And oh, it's my prayer that they understand that His arms are wide open and His hands are stretched out still. Stand to your feet tonight. Get us a song, if you will. Church, I want you to know there are times, listen, there are times that we go through the chastisement of the Lord. Listen to me for just a minute. It's going to help you. There are times we go through the chastisement of the Lord and we feel condemned. And condemnation can be a man thing. It can be an enemy thing. We feel guilty sometimes and we feel condemned. But I want to tell you this. Don't you ever let Satan lie to you and tell you that God's arms are shut up towards you. His arms are open and His hands are stretched out still. And the greatest peace you'll ever know as a Christian is to continually run into the arms of God. That's where you find peace. Listen, tonight, I don't know what you need to do with this message. All I know is for myself what I need to do with it. If the Lord says for you to come pray, you come pray. If you've never been saved by the grace of God and God has spoke to your heart, oh, tonight would be a good night to be saved. What you got?